Alright, so this morning our source packet is a little bit different in that it's not a packet, it's just one page. This morning, so we're going to try and go through just what the Rambam says here, and going to try and work out. There are some things that we've discussed before, and we want to kind of develop them from within the Rambam here to see exactly how he is framing some of these ideas. And some of these things are really fundamental points of introduction to really the entire discussion that we've been having, all the talks we've been discussing. And well, actually, one of the points we're going to discuss is why did the Rambam wait until here to talk about all of the things that we're going to discuss this morning. But we're just going to go through the Rambam and try and figure out exactly what the Rambam here is describing, without really getting into, bringing things in so much from what the Rambam describes elsewhere, and just trying to get the Rambam here. And we'll see that there's really a lot in this one little paragraph that's going on. So as we saw, so the Rambam had laid out the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to basically Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And as the Rambam gets Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as we discussed last week, 2 weeks ago, that the Rambam then begins to discuss how things were but up until Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And the Rambam described that until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that there was no one who had ever written a work that was taught in public. There was no one who had ever written a written work of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam describes how it was until then, and that's what we're going to try and focus on here. The Rambam says, "Ela b'chol dor v'dor, rosh beis din onavi sheyiyeh b'oso hador, kosev la'atzmo zichron b'shmuos sheshama meirabosav." That in every generation, the Rosh Beis Din or Navi, and when the Rambam says Navi here, he clearly means Navi who was a Rosh Beis Din, because as we've discussed previously, there is no such thing as someone. First of all, the Rambam is describing one person in each generation, so the only unique person, there are many Navim in each generation, the unique person that to be talking about here would be the Rosh Beis Din. And there's no independent status of a Navi in Torah Shebaal Peh, as we've discussed, other than his role in being a Navi doesn't give you, because you're a Navi, an added status. And it's seemingly reference to what we've discussed before about the stature of a Navi as an Av Beis Din, as a Rosh Beis Din, but not an independent status that a Navi had. But in any case, in every generation, so the Rosh Beis Din or Navi, Shayiya Ba'oso Hadar, who was in that generation, Kosev La'atzmo, writes for himself, Zichron B'shmuos Shashama Meirabosav, the notes, the reminders, little outlines of the teachings that he heard from his teachers, V'hu melamid al peberabim, and he would teach orally in public. V'chein kol acha echad ba'echad, so too with each individual, kosev la'atmo kifi kocho, he would write for himself according to his ability, mi biur ha-Torah u'mehilcho seha, from the explanation of the Torah and its halachos, kemo shama as he heard it, u'mi dvarim sh'nischadshu b'chol dar v'dor, and the points which were nischadish, the points, the new, the innovations, the novel Torah insights of each generation, bedinim sholam lo lamdum mipi yeshmua el v'mida v'mida mishlosh esrei midos v'eskimalei based in a gavol v'chein ayah davar tamid ad Rabbeinu Kadosh, and that's how it always went until the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So the Rambam, as we understand, does not go on at length for no reason. The Rambam does not throw in extra things just because, it'll sound nice. The Rambam, when he splits something, when he adds in extra description of something, the Rambam is always doing it for a reason. So here the Rambam seemingly splits the description here into two categories without a clear explanation of why. The Rambam describes for us the Rosh Beis Din Onavi in each generation, what he did. And then he says, V'chein kol echad ve'echad. Then he says, so too each individual wrote for himself. And seemingly they do the same thing. Each one is kosev la'atzmo. Each one writes for himself, Masha Shama, what he heard. So why does the Rambam split them into two groups? Why does he split them up into two categories, each with their own description? You just say that everyone, don't say the Rosh Beis Din and everyone else, they're doing the same thing. They're writing down what they hear. So, why is the Rambam describing them separately? So, but in order to understand why, how this is working, so the Rambam is we have to understand there's some distinctions here, a few chilukim, a few discrepancies here in the Rambam's description between the two, and we'll start with that. We'll try and understand exactly what's being described and understand why there are two groups and exactly what the role of specifically the Nasi is in this process. So the first thing you point out is that when the Rambam describes by the Rosh Beis Din Onavi, he says, Zichron Beshmuo Shashama Meiro Bosav. He says, what is he writing down? He is writing the Zichron Shmuo Shashama Meiro Bosav. He's writing down the reminders of the lessons that he learned from his teachers, as opposed to by the individuals, by Kol Echad Be'echad, he's writing Mi Bior HaTorah UMiHilchu Seha, the explanations of the Torah and its halachos, umi dvarim shenischanshu b'chol dor v'dor, and the things that were innovated in each generation. So point number one. So exactly what? So the Rosh Beis Din Onavi is writing the lessons that he heard from his teachers, and everyone else is writing the explanation of the Torah and the chidushim. Well, we'll get back into each one of these individually. Just let's point them out first. The second one is that by the Rosh Beis Din, it says that he is Melamed Al Peh Barabim, that he wrote it down, and then he's Melamed Al Peh Barabim. He taught it in public, orally in public. So it says that by the Rosh Beis Din. Doesn't say that by Kol Echad Ve'Echad that they did any teaching of the Torah. The third thing is that by Kol Echad Ve'Echad, the Rambam describes that each one wrote down Kefi Kocho, wrote down according to his ability. By the Rosh Beis Din Onavi, it does not say that. It doesn't say that he wrote down Kefi Kocho, does not say that he wrote down to the best of his ability that the Torah Shebaal Peh. So, that is only mentioned by Kol Echad Ve'Echad. So why is that? So let's try. So before we get into understanding this, let's just go through each of those things and maybe what needs to be understood. So first one we have the one wrote down Zichron B'Shmu Shashama Meiravosav. He wrote down the lessons that he learned versus that the Kol Echad Ve'Echad, every individual is writing down the Biurei HaTorah V'Hilchoseha. So what exactly is the distinction? What are those two things, and why is one relevant to the Rosh Beis Din and the other one is relevant to everyone else? And second of all, that only by the Kol Echad Ve'Echad, only by the individual, by everyone else, does it say that they wrote down the Dvarim Shenischanshim, that they wrote down the Chidushim of each generation. So why is the Rosh Beis Din not writing down the new things that were innovated in that generation, the Chidushim that came up in his Dar, in his generation? The second one we said was that the Rosh Beis Din is Malamid Barabim. So the implication being that he's the only one who's teaching publicly. So first of all, just practically, that seems impossible. Is it possible that the Rosh Beis Din was the only person, you know, teaching others? Everyone else was, you know, only in private conversation. He was the only one who was publicly teaching the Torah, Shebaal Peh. First of all, just practically, it seems impractical. There's one person who's teaching the entire Jewish people. The second thing is that it happens to be a halacha that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, right at the beginning of Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael l'lamed es kol ha-talmidim. That it's a mitzvah for every chacham to teach whatever students come to him to learn. So there was a mitzvah for every chacham to teach talmidim who came to him to learn. So what is the Rambam? Why is it that only the Rosh Beis Din is being described as melamed barabim? Question number two. Question number three: that only by the kol echad ve'echad, only by the individuals did we say that he says that they wrote it down kifi kocho, that he would write it down according to his ability. So the Rosh Beis Din, you know, he's also a human. He can only do things according to kefi kocho. He can only do things according to the degree to which he can do them. So why is it only by everyone else that it's described that they do it kefi kocho, as opposed to the Rosh Beis Din, as if the Rosh Beis Din is doing something more absolute, something which is more, you know, the maximum standard that's possible? So try and understand all of these things. So let's start with number one. Let's start with the Zichron Shmuos, that what it means that the Rosh Beis Din was writing down the Zichron HaShmuos, as opposed to everyone else was writing down the Biurei HaTorah. So the words themselves, really the distinction here between those two things seems pretty clear. We didn't describe the nature of it, but just in observing what's being described, the first one, the Rosh Beis Din is writing down Zichron Shmuos Masha Shama Me Rabosa, the recollections of the lessons that he heard from his teachers. That's describing basically what we would describe as the previous generation's Torah. The Rosh Beis Din is writing down the Torah of the previous generation. That's what he's recording. As opposed to Kol Echad Ve'echad is writing down the Torah of the Biurei HaTorah, the Hilchusea, and the Chidushim of that Dar, that the Biurei HaTorah, the explanations of the Torah that they hear, is the Torah of the current generation, is the Torah of the Dar HaNochachi, is the Torah of the current generation. So, if you think about it, before he was the Rosh Beis Din, before he was the leader of the generation, the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation, so who was the Rosh Beis Din? He was probably the Gadol of, but he was one of the Talmidim, of the students of the Gedolim of the previous generation. So before the Rosh Beis Din took over as the Rosh Beis Din, he was a Talmud of the previous generation. So at the stage at which he was one of the Kol Echad Ve'echad, he was a member of the everyone of just, you know, everyone else other than the Rosh Beis Din, he was a student of the previous generation's Gadol B'Chachma, the previous generation's Nasi and Rosh Beis Din. So his notes were the Zichron Shmuos of the Biurei HaTorah of the previous generation. His notes were, when he was a Talmid, when he was writing down the same thing that everyone else is writing down now. He was writing down, when he was a Talmid of the previous generation, he was writing, when he was one of those writing down Biurei HaTorah of Hilchoseha, that was the Torah that he was hearing from the previous generation. And therefore, his notes are the Shmuos. They're basically just the notes of what was said in the previous generation. His notes are basically the processing, the transferring of the Torah of the previous generation into his own Torah. And that's what his notes were, because he was a Talmud of the previous generation. Once he's the greatest B'chachma, now he has no one else to be a Talmud of. So who was he a Talmud of when he was hearing and writing down things that he was hearing? So that was the previous generation. So his notes are just Zichron Shmuos. They're recollections, they're reminders of the Shmuos of what he heard.
So is everybody else's.
Everyone else
is also going through the same process.
No, but everyone else is hearing has a gavel who they're hearing from now. He's the one who, when his status of being a Talmud ended, when he becomes at the point at which he's the Navi. Navi means he is the greatest Chacham in the generation. So he's no longer a Talmud of anyone. His Rebbeim were the leaders of the previous generation. So when the point at which he was writing down was in the previous generation. Everyone else, this is before we've gotten to any qualitative distinction, which we'll hopefully get to soon, but before we get into any qualitative distinction between what his Torah is and what everyone else's Torah is, just a factual observation. He's no longer a Talmud. All of the notes that he wrote are from when he was a Talmud, when the previous generation was the Gadol B'Chachma. And now that he's the Gadol B'Chachma, he's no longer hearing from someone else. So by definition, the notes that he has of what he heard are what he heard from the previous generation. And his notes are the Torah of the previous generation. As opposed to everyone else, he is the Gadol B'Chachma. Everyone else is now students of his. We'll see exactly how that process works soon. But everyone else is hearing from him. Everyone else is writing down the Torah of the Dor HaNochachi. Everyone else is writing down the Torah of the current generation. And that's the idea of what Biore HaTorah V'Hil Chosea is the Torah which is needed for that Dor. That if they're writing down, they have to rewrite the explanations of the Torah. It's not enough just that it was explained in the previous generation exactly the explanations of the Torah, but the explanation of things which are difficult for this Dor, the explanation of the things which need to be explained, which need to be made clear, or which need to be developed for this Dor to respond to the needs of each generation. That's the Biurei HaTorah, is the explanation of the Torah as it applies to this generation, which were the things which are, that's what's being heard now, is always the Torah which is relevant to this generation. The things that were Nitzchadish in each Dor were written down by that Dor, right? Obviously, the things that were Nitzchadish now were not written down by previous generations, because they're only written down now. So when we say that they wrote down the Dvarim Shenitzchadshu b'chol Dor v'Dor, when they're writing down the things which were each generation writing down that which was Nitzchadish, that which came about in that generation, obviously, they're writing down the current Torah. They're writing down the Torah which is being taught now, which is relevant to their Dor. So that's the Torah that everyone else is hearing and writing down, is the Torah of their Dor and not of the previous generation. So with this, we'll kind of get to and understand with this all of the other points that we've brought up. But the Rosh Beis Din, he writes the Torah of the past Dor, the past generation, as opposed to Kol Echad V'Echad, everyone else writes down the Torah of the current generation. And why is it that the Rosh Beis Din only writes the Torah of the past generation? Why is it that he's not also writing down the Torah of the previous generation? So this is what we're starting to get into with Corey's question a moment ago. But because that's all that he heard. Everyone is writing down Masha Shama, that which they heard, that which they were a Mekabel of, that they were receiving from someone else. The only thing that he was a Mekabel of, the only point at which he was a recipient on the receiving end of the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, was from the generation before him, as opposed to Kol Echad V'Echad, as opposed to when it comes to each individual, everyone else, what they hear is the Torah of the current generation. And just to point out, and we'll explain this in a moment, the current generation is only writing down the Torah of the current generation, even if you're an 80-year-old. And of course, you were alive 45 years ago, and you were writing down the notes of the, 45 years ago, someone else was the Nasi. And you wrote down that Torah, but you are still writing down the Torah of now. All you write down is the Torah of now. And we'll get to that in one moment, hopefully, from some of the things that we've discussed over the past months. Some of you will see where this is going. But where that everyone is writing down, everyone else who other than the Nasi, is writing down the Torah of now. Even if they already have their notes from the previous generation, because they're, you know, they have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. They're still writing down the Torah of now. They're writing down the Biurei HaTorah, which are being heard now. So the reason for this, the reason why the Rosh Beis Din is only writing down, the only Torah that he heard is the Torah of the previous generation, and that everyone else, the Torah that they hear is the Torah of the current generation, is because the role of the Rosh Beis Din, the role of the Nasi, is that he is the Mashmia, he is the progenitor, the one who makes heard the Torah of the current generation. The Torah of the current Dar, the Torah of now, is defined by the Torah that is taught by the Rosh Beis Din. That the Rambam describes that the Rosh Beis Din is Malamid Al Peh Barabim, that he's the one who teaches publicly to the in public, and we said that, you know, it seems difficult to imagine that he means he's the only single individual in the entire Jewish people who teaches to more than one person at a time. What the Rambam seemingly means is that he was the one who is the source of all Torah which is being taught Barabim. He would give his drashos, his Torah lessons were taught, and then the Talmidim, they hear from him and they go teach to others. But the source, the original Melamed Barabim, all Torah which is taught Barabim, starts from him. He is the one who is Koveh, who establishes the Torah that is being taught in that generation, the way in which the Torah is being taught in that generation. Because his job is to take the Torah of the previous generation as it was received by him. He being the Gadol HaMekablam, he's the reason he's the Nasi, the reason he is the Rosh Beis Din, is because he is the greatest of all of the Talmidim of the previous generation, and therefore he is the greatest of the recipients of the Torah of the greatest generation. So the role of the Nasi is he takes the Torah of the previous Dar, of the previous generation, as he received it, and he teaches it to the current Dar. He formulates it as it's necessary for that generation. He repackages the Torah in the terms which will be understood and which will be clear. He clarifies the Torah for his Dar as he sees that they need it. And that is what each Yachid, what each individual receives and hears and writes down for themselves. In each generation, the Torah is defined by the Torah being taught by the Rosh Beis Din as the representative of the Beis Din Agadol. The Rosh Beis Din is the one who is establishing what is Torah Shebaal Peh in this generation. As we explained, Torah Shebaal Peh is not up to him to decide what halacha is, but it is up to him to decide how that halacha is given over, because the Rosh Beis Din is responsible in each generation. The Torah is in the hands, as we've explained. The Torah is given over into the hands of the Beis Din Agadol to deliver it and to explain it to the Jewish people in that generation as it will be best understood in that generation. And that's why Torah Shebaal Peh was meant to remain Baal Peh, in order that each generation the Torah can be tailored in its understanding, not in its content. The content will always be what it was. The halacha will still be defined by God, but in its explanation, in its presentation, Torah will always be tailored to what will be understood and what will be related to in that generation. And the Rosh Beis Din was the one who had that position, who had that job of defining what is the presentation of Torah in this generation. This does not mean, just to be perfectly clear, that the Rosh Beis Din was a unilateral decider of halacha in each generation. He got to decide the Psak HaDin and everything. It is clear that the Rosh Beis Din, that the we'll see in some of the things coming up, and basically what the Beis Din HaGadol had to agree, had to be maskil, him. There was the Beis Din HaGadol is the Rambam describes as Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah. No, the Mishnah says the Rambam that Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah is talking about the Beis Din HaGadol, which is Yoshev Yerushalayim, Beleshet Ez HaGazis, about the high court sitting in the temple. They are the source of Torah Shebaal Peh. But the individual who took that Torah and was mashmia it and presented it to the nation, determined the way in which it was taught and decided the nature of its presentation, that was the role of the Rosh Beis Din. The Rosh Beis Din was responsible for taking the Torah of the previous generation and presenting it and repackaging it for the generation that he was the leader of. So the Rosh Beis Din does not need to write down the Torah of that generation because he is the source. He's the generator of that Torah. The Torah of that generation is the Torah that he teaches. Everyone else writes down only that Torah because Torah Shebaal Peh for that generation is defined by what he teaches. Everyone else writes down only that, even if you're 80 years old and you have notes from the previous Nasi, and even from two Nasiim ago, because you're exceptionally old. What is Torah Shebaal Peh? What is the defining body of Torah Shebaal Peh now? Is what the Rosh Beis Din is teaching now defines what Torah is now. And that's in each generation, Torah is alive. Torah is what's being taught through the Beis Din HaGadol to that generation, defines the Torah of that generation. Question? Yes?
Say we...
Hello.
Yeah. Take out the eis laso. Say there's no extenuating circumstances that are extraordinary. Are you saying that? My question is the oral law immutable? I mean, it should be from generation to generation, unless there's something that's changed, you know, in the psyche of how people are living or something. It should be the same from generation to generation.
So yes and no. So two things.
Maybe that's because there's always something different happening.
Right, so two things. So this is what I was trying to be sensitive to that point when I said that the content of Torah Shebaal Peh does not change. And even that is actually a misstatement, which we'll correct in a moment. But the main point that what I mean to describe there is that the frame of reference, you know, when we read a mashal from, you know, the Baal HaTanya using, you know, the scientific references of the time and whatever it is, the truth of the point that he's making will remain equally true. But his mashal makes no sense to us because, first of all, science has developed to a point where we might know that the point of his mashal, that in the mashal itself, like, the facts just aren't true. That doesn't have anything to do with the point that he was trying to bring out the mashal. That was just a way of people relating to it. So if we don't relate to, you know, if we had a Torah Shebaal Peh today that was still, if there hadn't been a Yeridus HaDoros to the point where we had to write it down because it was being forgotten, today I don't think that the frame of reference would be a shor and a bor and whatever it would be. When we talked about, you know, a shor, they might talk about a Cadillac. You know, I don't know if it would be that happens to be a living animal has, you know, there might be, but the Torah Shebaal Peh would be speaking in terms that are relevant, that are understood, the point that's trying to be communicated to the generation that's trying to be communicated to. The second thing is that the other thing that the Chachamim, that the Beis Din did, was they did make Takanos and Gzeros, which were specific to that generation. You had generations in which they created new Halachos, which were Dirabanan, which were things that, you know, they saw that generation needed. They saw in this generation that, you know, we have things which we say, Midoraisa, Kesef is Konev. But because Chazal saw that maybe there were certain situations where the seller was taking advantage of the buyer because of the way in which it worked, they were gozer. They made a takana that Mashicha is Kona instead of Kesef. So you can have things where Chazal made, you know, that our generation, this is what's necessary for now. we'll see, we'll talk about in some later weeks, but this is, you know, clear in the Rambam. Here, there are things which are nischanshu from the Torah itself. The Rambam describes that you have things which are new halachos de'oraisa, which are created by the Beis Din HaGadol through the Yud Gibel Midos Shatar and Jeshu's Man. The framework for creating these halachos is de'oraisa. You don't get to just make them up. But within that framework, Chazal can darshan things which are new drushos, which weren't known until then, and that's the new things, the Dvarim Sheneschatshu that everyone else is writing down. Dvarim Sheneschatshu means they're new. So there, we'll get to that. We'll hopefully have a separate discussion about that point because it's important. But there were Dvarim Sheneschatshu. But the primary point that we're trying to focus on is that even without getting into that point, it was necessary in every generation for the Torah to be expressed in terms which were relevant to that generation. Of course, just like we say today, that the same Torah which applied to an agricultural society applies to a mechanical, an electrical, and a computer society. It has to be then the halachos, you know, it's not that the Torah changed and, you know, it used to be that combustion engines weren't asur and now they are. There was no such thing as combustion engine, so it wasn't asur or mutter. When society innovates something like that, the Torah has something to say about it. It fits into, this is not something new which now the Torah has to come up with an answer for. It's something which, within the framework of the Torah, there's already the answer. But now the Torah needs to be explained in a way in which we understand how it applies to everything that is in our society. And sometimes that'll be in terms of just the facts, and sometimes that'll be in terms of just the terms of expression, like the example I was giving with the mashal. But in any case, so the Torah Shebaal Peh, and we've discussed this several times, the Rambam describes that the Nasi of each generation, the Rambam says he's the Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. He stands in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the representative of Moshe in that generation. And we can understand that just as Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation, certainly Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning the Torah that Moshe received orally at Har Sinai, was defined by what Moshe taught. There is no Torah Shebaal Peh other than what Moshe taught. So too in every generation, the Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu is the one, what he teaches defines Torah Shebaal Peh. And with that, we can understand why the Rambam describes that what everyone else wrote down was kefi kocham, was according to their ability. But the Rambam does not say that by the Rosh Beis Din, because what he wrote down was not kefi kocho. What he wrote down was not just according to his ability. It's not that there was something more that maybe he could have written down, but he just did the best he could. Because by definition, whatever he was teaching, whatever he brought to the next generation, his Havana, his understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh, as he received it from the previous generation, defined and determined the existence of Torah Shebaal Peh of his generation. And therefore, there was whatever he taught was, by definition, everything that there was in Torah Shebaal Peh. The totality of Torah Shebaal Peh was defined by what was taught by the Rosh Beis Din of the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. And therefore, he wasn't doing it kefi koko. Kefi koko implies that he did it to a certain extent, but there was more that should be included that wasn't. There is no should be by the Rosh Beis Din. Whatever he is teaching, whatever Torah Shebaal Peh he is giving over, defines Torah Shebaal Peh for that generation.
So we're talking, just to try to pick an example, we're talking about things like deciding whether quinoa is kidney out, and can be eaten on Pesach, or whether an LED is Asher.
So that would certainly have been part of it. Now, that would not have been up to the Rosh Beis Din to decide, because that is something that the Beis Din HaGadol would have to, would be a question, and they would have to paskin it, and then he would be the one who is responsible for promulgating those halakhos and disseminating them. And the way in which, and the kind of the method and the way in which he does that defines what the lexicon of the halakha is. I don't want to get too much into this because get us a little bit off track, but if the Rosh Beis Din forgot something, so this is, I don't want to get too much into this discussion, but if the Rosh Beis Din forgot something, that became no longer part of Torah Shebaal Peh, because whatever he taught, that defined Torah Shebaal Peh. The people only had Torah Shebaal Peh as was taught by the Rosh Beis Din. As we've discussed, we had something called Ma'atikim, and we had people who could say about the Torah from the previous generation, Kach Kibalti, with absolute certainty, this is what they said in the previous generation. And if the Rosh Beis Din said, I don't know, and someone else said, Kach Kibalti, so the Rosh Beis Din would accept that from them. He wasn't the sole proprietor and the sole responsible party for knowing everything, but he was the sole responsible party for determining what is included in Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, if there was something which was forgotten, there was something which was left out from his teaching of Torah Shebaal Peh, that became no longer part of Torah Shebaal Peh. And I don't want to get into a broader discussion. We could talk about. So, should a person, if someone knew themselves that somehow that they weren't a person with the authority to say this is the halakha, but they happen to know, they happen to remember that this is what their great grandfather did. So should they continue keeping that halakha if it's not no longer part of the body of Torah Shebaal Peh? I don't want to get into the broader discussion, but you understand that that could be a question. So I just want to try and finish because we're running out of time. But so, although we've discussed that Torah Shebaal Peh is a finite body, it's a defined amount of information, and we can talk about finishing all of Torah Shebaal Peh, which the Rambam does. He says a person is required to learn all of Torah Shebaal Peh. You can only have all of something if it has an end, right? So in as much as Torah Shebaal Peh is a finite body, but we can understand the identity of Torah Shebaal Peh changes in every generation in which there is a Beis Din HaGadol. As long as there's a Beis Din HaGadol, there is an independent, individually, uniquely defined Torah Shebaal Peh for that generation. A person has to know all of the Torah Shebaal Peh of that generation. And there is an all of it. There's an amount you could finish. But it's defined independently for each generation. So, just to get back to one last point, so we brought up at the beginning, I said I would discuss, why is this paragraph here? What is this paragraph doing here? This seems to be a rather fundamental point that maybe should have been way back at the beginning before we got into the Nasi'im at all. Talking about, okay, we're now kind of getting into what's a Nasi and how does this Masorah work. So the Rambam here is about to explain to us, he's about to define for us what exactly Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did, what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi changed, what his innovation was. And therefore, it's important to understand that at this point, that the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh was that it did not, and ideally, without any eis lasos l'shem, without the extenuating circumstances that caused Rebbe to make this change, it did not and should not have a permanent fixed words and phrases, the content of Torah Shebaal Peh, the facts of Torah Shebaal Peh should remain, you know, with the exception of the things which are added because of innovations, things like that, but with the exception of that, the content of Torah Shebaal Peh should have stayed the same. It should be it should not be permanent and should not be fixed. Torah Shebaal Peh should be redetermined in every generation according to what that generation needs, and that the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is that the Nasi has the ability to give it over in every generation. But come Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, from now on, Torah Shebaal Peh is understood only from the words that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi set into the Sefer HaMishnah. That until now, there were no defined words. Torah Shebaal Peh was the understanding, the perush, the explanation of Torah Shebichsav. An explanation is, by definition, is just the understanding. It's how you are able to comprehend it, to make sure that it makes sense to you. And there are no defined words for that. It's whatever gets the message across to you. And therefore, there were no defined words which were handed over from generation to generation of this is the wording of Torah Shebaal Peh. No such thing. Torah Shebaal Peh was re-identified every generation by the Nasi. When it came to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that's where that stopped. What Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did was he was koveh, he established, this is Torah Shebaal Peh, these words are Torah Shebaal Peh. From now on, Torah Shebaal Peh is understood from these words that Rabbi Yehuda put in the Sefer HaMishnah. I want to discuss, the next time we learn, is this idea that there are words at all to Torah Bal Peh. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi certainly innovated that these words remain the words from generation to generation. But the fact that there are words to Torah Bal Peh, that we want to hopefully discuss in our next class what the nature of the content of Torah Bal Peh was before Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. We'll pick up next time we learn.